All right, everybody, Scoots here. It's time to talk about Chapter 10 of The Mandalorian. Mandaborian here. Starts off with a recap. We see one season one episode with the droid that had bug eyes. And actually, there's more than one level of callback to that episode where they're on the ship, the prisoner, I think it's called, or the escape plan or something. One of the best standalone episodes of that season. I mean, really, episode I really enjoyed watching every time I watched it. So we have the bug droid and Oso. Then we have like last episode, a total recap of last episode for anybody new. Then we have the Lucasfilm and Star Wars thing. I did want to say that this episode I watched both episodes this season with someone that's not a Star Wars watcher and kind of like was doubtful, but they really seemed to enjoy this episode a lot. So I don't know if it was their mood or, you know, they'd seen the other episode. They're still learning. They like when you introduce someone new, they love Oso even more, which I didn't think was possible. Maybe just because Oso's more developed and has more sounds this season. I don't know. But we get this episode, we see two suns. So we get the Lucasfilm Star Wars openings, and we see two suns in a desert, a plane, and a speeder bike kicking up dust. In my notes, I said a speeding speeder bike. I don't know what the speed limit for speeder bikes is. Oso's in the breeze. And we open with some action. A little bandit trap with some ropes, which is big, you know, trying to steal from the Mandalorian. Not a good idea. But creative work, they do that. So they cause a little speeding speeder bike, like stoppy poo, and everything spills out of the ship. And actually, speeder bike is non-functional. We see the Beskar armor in action. Which you'd think if you saw Beskar armor in action, you'd just say, okay, let's get out of here. But that's not how it works. So they get a drop on them. Oso, action, stride. Let's see. So there's like a dance off, you know, typical action sequence with the dance off. Mando has to outdance four characters. Or maybe five, but one of them carries Oso, and Mando says, "That's my child, so don't mess with my child. We could just strike a bargain," which also brings up, don't strike a bargain with Mandalorian. Two episodes in a row, you learn that it is like, I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. But I think that song's more about romance, but this one's like those genie in the bottle stories. Be careful what you strike a bargain for. But they go back and forth, and eventually they settle on the jetpack, which I said, what do you buy? I mean, I guess the jetpack's probably worth a ton of money. One, it must have limited fuel. I don't know how much fuel it has, because they don't use it, maybe just can't carry a lot of weight other than a human and an Oso. But Mando uses a remote on that after the character he made the deal with takes a jetpack and he flies away. Looks like it attaches to Mando's back by magnet. So that character runs off with the jetpack, then gets jetpacked right into the sand. Remote control, not very merciful, I guess. Jetpack returns. How much fuel I put. Also, there's a close-up of the Mandalorian before they switch to the chapter marker. He still has green slime on his face, so he hasn't had a chance to clean his helmet. Then we get some Mando walking through the desert scenes like in a Western. Even a crossfade. With good music, of course, mirages. Then he sees the town. He gets back at dusk, back to, I forgot the name of the town, of course. Oga's Cantina. I think that's where he shows up, though. Know the name of that. Corellia? No, that's not it. And he finds his favorite Sidaris playing poker, some sort of card game. I don't know if it's the same game as in from the Solo movie. Sidaris is playing against some sort of thorax-based being, TBB. She says, you got some Mandalorian stuff, huh? Where is the Mandalorian? He goes, it was a Mandalorian, but I bought his armor. What'd that set you back? Krayt Dragon. He was my last lead, though. Dr. Mandible, according to the Dr. Mandible. Can you cover Dr. Mandible knows where some Mandos are. Can you cover his costs? It's a 500, a high stakes game. He's on a hot streak anyway. And so Mando gets it back, like his karma right back, I guess, because she says, idiot's array, pay up, Thorax. Maybe that's like four jokers or something. I don't know. And he goes, okay, we'll contact with a rendezvous at the rendezvous with the contact at the hangar. Sidaris is brusque, I put. She also walks with total like cool attitude. She goes, did you get any dragon meat? Better be good. Stop your crying. Stop your moping, she says. Hey, don't overcook the meat either, Treadwell. Medium rare. They cook in the dragon meat by a jet thing. She goes, okay, the covert's close. One system over. He goes, Navarro? She goes, I don't know, but the contact will take you. He goes, how much? Free, except for my finder's fee. And he goes, well, what's not the good news? She goes, one small skank in the scud pipe. Contact wants passage to the system. Do you vouch for them? Oh, totally, to the max. Okay. Also, you can't use hyperspace and our hyperdrive. He goes, no way, sublight. That's, he goes, I had it, can't, that's not a good idea. She goes, mitigating circumstances. He goes, what do you mean? Then we see like a slee sack. What are they called? Slee sacks? Like a frog person. And they say, oh, so she's carrying a backpack kind of full of frog eggs. And she's going, her spawn, she needs them fertilized by Equinox. The eggs can't go in hyperspace. Her husband's on the estuary moon of Trask or something. Sidaris speaks frog or frogish or frogian. And because is that where the Mandalorians are? My husband knows where the Mandalorians are. He's seen them. Oso is really staring at the frog eggs, which are in a clear backpack, I assume heated. The Mando says to Sidaris, do you even know the husband? I just met her. What are you talking about? And then she eats some dragon meat, thin sliced. Krayt dragon meat is it looks like you cook it a bit like you would for meat for a gyro or gyro, depending on where you name stuff. Let's see, frog person, Oso has eyes for spawn, estuary moon, she's sure, Oso, when Oso stares at the eggs, there's even music, egg backpack, meat eating, Mando in space, he says, I'm going to have to ask you to stay strapped in while seated. There's some sort of, they have a communications issue since he doesn't speak frog. He says, do you speak Huttese? No. Do you speak Huttese? He says that in Huttese. No. She just blinks. Hala to Havaka. Hala to Havaka. Wonder if they said that in Return of the Jedi. Probably they did. If Huttese is what the Hutts speak, then there's also egg music again as he gets close up on the eggs. I don't know what the mom's thinking not having the eggs with her. I guess she's thinking that Oso wouldn't eat them. Then Mando sets autopilot and says, all right, I'm going to hit the rack. I got to set the nav. You should get some rest because it's going to be a long drive. Then he goes to check his bedroom, the rack. Oso's not in there. So the kid's not in bed. Then Oso's having a little snack, hard-boiled eggs. Also, the frog person brought hard-boiled eggs, but they seem to be for her, and he's just helping himself. He goes, those aren't for you, man. Oso burps, He says nap time. Then we fade to black. And of course, anytime the Mandalorian relaxes, then this alert goes off. So then he goes back. He sees the frog is asleep, and then it's the chips are next to him in X-wings, like just like the California Highway Patrol. He says, "Is there a problem, officer?" "New Republic rules, buddy. You're supposed to have your transponder on at all times." He goes, "Oh, this thing didn't have, like, this thing was retrofitted." It's very well written, because he says, "Okay, I'll get right on it then." And then they say, "One more thing, send us a ping," which I guess must be the whole, like, where they download your whole computer. Or your, like, computer, like, your code and your personal code and your ship's code. But first, they were going to let him off. He says, "Yeah, may the force be with you, also with you." "Oh, boy, one more thing, though. Send us a ping." There. "Just one more thing." "Oh, yeah? Yeah, give us a ping." And Mando says, "Oh, I don't think we're looking for Imperials, obviously." He goes, "Well, yeah, I'll let you know if I see any, but that doesn't work on my ship." And he goes, "Oh, it's not turned on." And they say, "Okay, we'll wait." And he goes, "Well, it's broken." And they say, "Oh, okay, well, we'll have to pull you over then, you know, but when we pull you over here, we got to drive way out of the way." And they say, "Man, that's not good. Adelphi is where we'll have to go. Then we'll run your tabs." And he goes, "Oh, well, okay, here it is. There, that works." And the frog lady wakes up. "Sorry about that noise. Not a frog lady. I don't know why you would cover that up, though." And then they say, "Let's talk privately," the two X-Wing officers. And then their X-Wings go to X-Wing mode. They were in flight mode. They go into pulling over with action mode. Mando takes off. They go, "Oh boy, we got a runner." And a chase ensues. So we're like, what, 10 minutes into the episode, or 14 minutes, and we already had two action. This is our second action sequence. They follow them. And they go into a planet with a lot of clouds. Mando tries to hide in the clouds, doesn't do that successfully. Well, he kind of barely does. Then he turns off the engines. They don't fly right by. He drops so that he drops straight towards the Earth or the planet. There's even the cool sound effects of, plummeting ship. They drop fast. A frog woman does not like it. They fly into an ice canyon. Not sure if this was one of the planets from one of the movies, but it's an ice planet, or it's an icy planet. Target computer active. They say, these are very generous patrollers. They say, "Don't make us, you know, take out your ship, man." Razor Crest. Then the Mando successfully hides. First he goes through a cave. Then he slides across the ice and then manages to like turn off his engine and slide under a rock. And the X-Wings do fly by, but they're like, so they fly by. He drops through the ice. And then again, the screen goes to black again. Then we come back. Mando just wakes up. They had all fallen asleep. But stuff is frosty. He's a little frozen. Really fun sequence, though, with the Razor Crest sliding across the ice. And they give you a quick second where you're like, "Oh, okay, things are going to be just fine here." But then it cracks and drops pretty far. They fall asleep, cut to black, cut back. Mando wakes up. So then he helps the frog mama. Wakes her up. He says, "Don't worry, I'll go look for your kids. Don't worry at all. There's a hole in their hull." At some point he says, "We've lost hull integrity." Then he's looking around. I think he even says a D-A-double-M, you know, darn it all. Because he can't find Oso or the eggs. Then he finds Oso under the blanket eating the eggs, hard-boiled eggs, so don't worry, unshelled. Doesn't give him consequences, so I don't want to teach you. I mean, he's more of like a caretaker. What do you call that? A caretaker than what do you call it? But, you say, what do you, like, you got to give him consequences, man. Oh, so slurps down an egg. He does a slurp, then a burp. Yeah, right now he's looking for him. Whereas the frog lady's like, hurry up and find my eggs, dude. My hard-boiled eggs and my spawn are together. Because they need hard-boiled eggs to feed, you know, it helps. Like, I brought those for my husband. You know, it helps. It's aphrodisiac where we're from. A lot of comedy with Oso and the hard-boiled eggs. The mom, he says, don't worry, got your kids. Oso slurps and burps. He says, what are you doing, man? Those are aphrodisiac for frogs, not for yodish beings. Then Mando says to the frog, like, they're starting to eat a meal. He says, main power drives out, temperature's going to drop, hull's integrity's messed up, plan's off. He goes, I'll give you an idea of what's going to happen later, but you're not going to like it. By the way, I'm going to take a nap. The frog lady, she says, look at this battery level on my my spawn. I'm low on aphrodisiacs, and my spawn have to be kept at a certain temperature. And Mandalorian says, let's talk about it later. And she groans, but then she, you know, nothing is what it seems in these ones. Oso's trying to get closer to the eggs. He snuggles up with Beskar armor or Beskar steel. She snuggles up with her kids. But she's still trying to brainstorm a solution. There is a small heater. And she looks up at that droid head from the droid the Mando had taken out. And she blinks her eyes. She's thinking. Then she wakes the Mandalorian up with the frog head. She's using it to interpret for her. This can't wait till morning. I bypassed the security protocols. I got his vocabulator. So, like, these are my, he goes, what are you doing? That's a dangerous droid. She goes, it's only its head. One, two, these are my last brood. My husband worked, you know, trying to carve out an existence for us, on the only planet hospitable to our species. And we've gone through too much to deal with this. This is our family line. So I demand you hold true to your bargain. Oso whimpers. Mando says, lady, the deal's off. And she gets him right where he gets, you know, he says, okay, well, I thought there was something called the Mandalorian Code. Maybe you don't believe in it. Maybe that's just for kids. Also, too bad you won't find any Mandalorians then. He looks at Yoda, who looks at him. He goes, oh, brother. Moves Yoda, gets grouchy, gets up. Grabs his toolbox and says, I guess I got to get to work. This wasn't part of the deal, though. And this little wreckage looks, I don't know how he fixes it, because there's like spark and stuff, smoke and stuff, goop, stuff shooting goop, green goop out, bright green goop. We get some surf guitar music. There's still sunlight coming through the hole that they fell through. And Mandalorian kind of starts to work on some of the ship. And he says, oh boy, we don't got much sunlight left. He kind of does one of those looks. So either he was asleep the whole night or he was only asleep for a little while. I think, again, he keeps getting worried about when night falls, though. But he starts to work on the ship. The camera pans up to give us a little break. It fades to white when we see him working. Then Oso's talking to him and pointing, actually tattletaling. Oso says, why don't you do something, kid? And Oso marches off. He goes, hey, why didn't I learn to give you consequences? Where are you going? I said, get back here. Very grouchy, kid. Get back here. Then he sees Oso kind of staring off. Looks just like Yoda at that moment. Not a Yodish being, Yoda the character. And we see the steps of the frog mom. Then we see him in thermal imaging, and he picks up Oso, and he walks through an ice cave. Very beautiful, blue ice cave, very nice with the sunlight. And he starts to go through the cave, very like, he's looking around. He's always suspicious. He looks pretty cool, iced in. Oso's looking around, being held. He's doing the football butt carry of baby Oso, following the mom's steps, wondering, you know, WTF. Keeps checking the thermal imaging. And then eventually he sees, like, some red light coming through. He says, okay, more thermal stuff up there. Goes into a larger cave, and it's like a hot spring. I mean, first he has to take a couple turns, takes a left turn there, scoots through. Then he's in the hot spring, and the frog lady's in the hot spring in her frog birthday suit with her spawn. And there's a lot of icicles. He says, what are you doing out here? You can't be outside the ship. We don't know what's out here. She says, I got to keep my frog, you know, everything like warm. Oso sees the warm hard-boiled eggs too. He says, wait a second. And Mandalorian says, it's going to be nighttime soon. And I can't work on the ship. And she says, but it's nice and warm in here. He says, let's get these spawn and hard-boiled eggs cleaned up. He sees Oso reaching for a hard-boiled egg. He goes, no, no. He winks his finger at him. Oso does not really listen. Then he does. So then he wanders off. Hot spring with eggs. Gather these up. Bobbing for frog eggs. No, no. Oso walks off. He's sniffing something. And then he sees these like thumb-shaped things. He goes up to one. They're also eggs, of course, but a different kind, or spores or something. He sniffs one, then he taps it. It's hollow. Then he scratches the top of it. His ears move. He rips it open. It's paper-like. And inside is a fern friend. And like a half fern. Is that what they're called? Not ferns are a spore-based plant, right? Maybe. And he snacks on the fern. What he doesn't know, these are sentient fern beings. I guess they're fern-based beings. And he's surrounded by these spores with baby fern, sentient ferns in there. And all of them start to come out of their shell. It's very cool music, really, really good music. So he snacks on this thing, and all the fern babies say, what in the heck? And he says, I don't like these ferns. They start going towards him and they say, are you a fern? They're just kids. So they don't know. But then they start making this sound to call the older sentient ferns. The frog mom, she grabs her cloak with her tongue to get dressed. She gets dressed really fast, really efficient at getting dressed. And this is very D&D type moments. Oso cries, runs to his papa. Oh dear. Lots of new fern friends show up of various sizes. And you know, if there's fern children around in an episode about parenthood, there's like teens, teen ferns. And then the mom fern comes. And there was a show called Between Two Ferns. And I don't know, this must be the way the ferns are in Star Wars, because they say, we're going to have to surround you and keep you as part of our fern family. We just want to snuggle you. But when you get snuggled by ferns, the thing is that it's cold. The ferns don't realize that these are two warm-blooded characters. And then I'm not sure about the frog. So there's various sizes. He says, go, run. At some point, like, my notes are going to change here, but she goes into frog mode. The chase is very D&D. The ferns have legs, so they can run very fast, so they're chasing them. Also, the ferns can shoot this fern, sticky fern stuff, fern goop. But so now I did it, this will be, how many stages is this? Okay, this looks like a 60-stage plan to deal with fern trouble. And so you don't get caught up in a fern, you know, web of ferns, I would say. the old web of ferns. It was another Star Wars episode 20, web of ferns. Okay, so if you do, so here's how you start out. How do you also create fern trouble for an action sequence? One, open a fern spore and eat it. Two, tell your dad. Three, get picked up. Some of this is from Oso's perspective. Four, run, moan also. Five, if you're the Mandalorian, draw your anti, you have an anti fern sprayer. Draw your anti fern sprayer and watch. One spray maybe. Seven, dodge a fern web. Eight, pull up your coat. If you're a frog, before you go in frog mode, pull up your cloak or your coat. Nine, enter frog mode. 10, dodge the leg of the giant frog woman. 11, run really, really fast. 12, use your magnetic detonators if you're the Mandalorian, because that, like, hopefully that'll cause a cave-in and it'll stop the ferns and stop the fern mother. And ideally, if you stop the fern mother, you'll stop everything. So surround the fern mother with, use three detonators, turn them on so the LEDs go on. Throw them. I guess they stick to snow too. You know, explode them, cause cave-in. Hopefully the fern mother went bye-bye. That's step 12. Step 13, watch to see if it worked. 14, it didn't stop the fern family from chasing you, so run. 15, spray a lot of your anti-fern spray. 16, use your fire thingamajig, your flame-throwing wrist thing. I don't know where it keeps, I mean, I guess, like, I'm like, man, Mandalorian has to give a lot of fuel, or they can really compress the fuel. 17, spray 1, 2, this is probably incorrect, though, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 times, maybe. 18, get gooped by a fern goop, also catch a baby fern. 19, spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times around. 20, get inside the hull of your ship. There's a blanket blocking the way. Spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. 21, go up the ladder. Spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times or so. 21, close the door. Spray, but then the bunch of ferns try to keep you from closing the door. Spray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times or so. If you're Oso, a baby ferns on your head, get saved by the frog mom who brushes it away kindly. Step 20, 1, 2, 3, 24, use more of your flamethrower to get clear the door. Step 25, close the door. Step 26 or so, because my numbers are off, watch and listen. Next step, try to start the ship. This better work. Get some ride flying music going. Step 29 to 27, 28 or 29, take off a little bit. Next step, I'll start at step 30 again because my numbers are off. Mom or dad lands on your ship, the giant fern. It causes your ship to go back down to the ground. Then the mom will try to break your windows. Step 30, do a close-up of the mother or father trying to get on your ship and gasp. Step 31, saved by mysterious blasts of anti-fern ray. By whom? Step 32, better find out, but they have spotlights, so we can't see them. Step 33, hold on to your eggs, Mom, because Oso's nearby. Step 34, go walk through your ship. Oh boy, it's going to be neat to clean because it's full of fern droppings. Can't believe sentient ferns go to the bathroom. Step 35, whoever the mysterious characters are, clearing off your ship of more ferns with their anti-fern rays. Step 36, realize that it was the X-Wing cops that pulled you, ships that pulled you over. We ran your tabs, they say. You were supposed to be busted for rescuing prisoner X6, hold on, X6 something. Yeah, we'll come back to it because it hit the wrong button too. So now they're cleaning off. Also, the slime is also, this is season two, season of slime. Or chapters 9 and 10, the slimy episodes. So yeah, we ran your tabs. You were supposed to be busted for rescuing or escaping X6911. But the camera said that you also busted three priority culprits from the wanted register. And you helped protect or tried to protect Lieutenant Davin. Is this true? Am I busted? The Mandalorian says, technically you should be, but these are trying times. And the Mandalorian says, okay, what if I forego? Okay, let's get back to the steps, right? Is this true? Trying times. Can you help me seal up my ship? No. Why don't you just fix the transponder, bro? You're lucky that's all we did was... we're just going to, you know, we won't even give you a ticket, but we're not going to help sit around. We saved your rear end, by the way. You never even said thank you. So bye. Step 40, watch them leave. Step 41, that's a big bummer. I'm going to have to get back to work and fix some stuff to stabilize the ship. And hope we wiped out. Unfortunately, while we tried to save one frog's spawn, we may have wiped out an entire spawn of fern-based beings. Maybe, not sure if that's any irony. So, step 42, we're going to have to get cozy in the cockpit. Because I'm not going to be able to fix the hull. Step 43, use the privy. Take your turns. Don't leave Oso alone with the eggs after midnight. Step 44, fix the stuff while the kid watches you with love and amazement and thoughtfulness. Step 44B, use a privy again. Step 45, don't eat the eggs, kid. Step 46, take off. While the ship shakes a lot and we defern it. Step 47, wake me up before you go, because I'm not planning on it going solo. Sweet dreams. Oh, step 48, only 48 step plan. Don't eat the eggs, but keep an egg hidden in your pocket for later. Ha ha. Okay, and then the episode ends with the, that was like the end of the episode after Oso sneaks an egg when everyone's sleeping that he had in his pocket. Okay, so then the episode ends with the title, I don't think they're storyboards because they're too artistic and beautiful. I mean, not that storyboards aren't. The storyboards are just usually a little bit faster put together, so maybe these were like concept art, I don't know. Probably that's what they are. So one is the fern-based beings. Two is the X-Wing chase. Three is the hot tub. Four is the Sedaris card game. Five is the frog on the ship. Six is a crash in the snow with the X-Wing flying by. Seven is running away from the the seven is run away from the fern-based beings. Let's see. And actually, they even add some, like, motion while spraying the fern-based beings and the frog woman running. Eight is, like, surrounded by fern-based beings at your ship. Nine is in the cockpit while the fern-based beings surround your ship. And 10 is being saved by the X-Wings. All right, so we got time for a couple facts here. So sector is one thing that came up this episode. So we went over to StarWarsFandom.fandom.com. And according to this, sector is an area of space framed by an artificial boundary for political, economic, or military organization. Groupings of inhabited systems organize themselves into informal sectors before the Infinite Empire. The Galactic Republic was the first body to try to make standardized sectors, a maximum of 50 star systems that are inhabited. After rapid exploration, it caused many sectors to grow larger than their size. Then some even got up to 1,000 inhabited systems. That's 125 inhabited systems per sector. At some point, they tried, there was too many sectors. So there was something called the Russian Reformation in 1000 BBY. It reorganized the galaxy into 1,024 sectors and even subsectors. But that was problematic because some had, you know, a little bit of worlds and somewhere like barren stars. Chancellor Palpatine reversed the moratorium on new sectors and created new sectors by dividing up larger ones. By Republic law, in a state of emergency, an appointed governor could coordinate military action with a senator of a troubled sector. This is what Palpatine exploited during the Clone Wars. Then when the Empire took over, Moffs, M-O-F-F-S, like replaced senators as governors of sectors, and sectors were expanded or collapsed together by the Moffs. Under Palpatine and delegated by Palpatine. Unincorporated territories wishing to be part of the Empire became new subsectors or were added. Some were based on the primary planet, like Alderaan became the Alderaan system and then the Alderaan sector. Sector maps, there's maps of the sectors, the Outer Rim, the Mid Rim, and the Expansion Region. Let's see. I don't know if that's in Legends. I don't know what canon means. In canon, a sector is a space of land framed by artificial boundary that contains solar systems. It's just not as expansive. The canon just says it's basic. All right. I wanted to look up jetpacks here on Star Wars Fandom. I'm here. Jetpacks are aerial transportation. Mandalorian armor was equipped with jetpacks. Some clone troopers had jetpacks. Galactic Empire had jump troopers, First Order jet troopers, Sith Eternals jet trooper, clone jetpack trooper. Known models include the JT-12, the Z-6, and the rocket packs. Let's see, that's in canon. Let's see what Legend has. I just want to see what we know about fuel and stuff. They were worn on the back, wrist mounted control or verbal controls. A jetpack funneled air and fuel through miniaturized turbines, which caused a thrust. You had to have some, you couldn't go very high, and you had to have some atmosphere to have thrust. Sometimes they created a cloud of exhaust or dust to help with getaways. Directional exhaust nozzles helped control the flight path and had a gyro stabilizer. Downsides to the Jetpack's agility were the device's 30-kilo weight. So that answers one question for this episode. And most models can only carry enough fuel for around 20 bursts of thrust. So that's another one. Often a repulsor pack was a more viable alternative. Let's see. Yeah, you could also use it, I guess, as a parachute. There's a little bit about that. Let's see what a repulsor pack is. A repulsor pack has repulsor lift technology. They're more efficient than jetpacks, longer flight, but they only worked inside of a gravity well. No idea what any of that is. A repulsor lift engine is a repulsor anti-gravity technology capable of levitating an object. Is created by forming subnuclear knots of space-time by enormous unmanned power refineries encompassing black holes. Repulsor lifts were widely used, and they're used in every vehicle, virtually every vehicle. Repulsor lifts only worked in a gravity well, as the technology required mass to push against. So like on Alderaan, an anti-grav range was approximately six planetary diameters. Repulsor lifts use minimal power and reliable enough to be utilized continuously. Repulsor lifts could be assembled in raised clusters or vanes studded with microcoils of gravitic knots. These units were mounted on a vehicle or spacecraft on the underside. I don't understand any of this. Repulsor lifts, speeder bikes, land speeders, air speeders, and starships that operate in gravity wells. Let's just figure out, what is a gravity well? I mean, does it have gravity well on here? Gravity well. Gravity well is any location where a gravity field existed. So that'd be any planet with gravity, right? I mean, there was also ships with gravity wells. I don't know. I mean, we're at the limits of my understanding of anything, which is always a good place to be. Speeder bikes, larger history. The five planets of the Corellian system possessed massive repulsors on their surface. They were so powerful they could destroy ships in space. And even stopped the firepower of Centerpoint Station, which created gravitational shifts strong enough to destroy stars. Let's see. There's even asteroid shepherds. I don't know. I guess it's a little bit beyond my thing, but it's just a little bit about, you know, repulsor jetpacks, gravity wells, and of course, yeah, so I guess that's just a little bit. I mean, I think that's all we need to know. I was going to look up those jetpacks. Let's see if I can find those links again. JT-12. The JT-12 was a personal jetpack worn by clones. Also had a launcher, so that could be what both models were fangoed by Jango Fett. He lost his JT-12. Once upon a time. So that's one. It was created by Mirsan Munitions. What was the other one? Z6. Let's see if it has a link for Z6 even. Jetpacks. I could have sworn notable usage. Z6 jetpack. Here we go. Oh, no. This one. Z6 was produced by Minitrons. Oh, this was one worn by Mandalorians. Jango Fett also wore one of these, and Boba Fett. This one was Z6 could hold enough fuel for 1 minute of continuous operation. Maybe we should go back and see what the JT-12 had, if it could hold longer. Let's see, the JT-12, Misko, Genosis, Mace Windu, somebody. Modified version was used by clone troopers, and the Z6, similar to Z6, the fuel tank held enough fuel for 1 minute of continuous operation, 23-second blasts. which could use you move you 100 meters horizontally or 70 meters vertically. So not very far. So I don't know. That's interesting. So just a little facts, and good night. I hope you're snuggled up like Oso against Beskar Steel as you get your rest. Good night.